In your Bible, please, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we return to verse 32. The 11th chapter of Hebrews, a great chapter of faith, faith being defined. The hope of that which is yet to be experienced, the evidence of things yet seen. We act now with the assurance that we are going to experience the fullness of what God has promised. Faith, then documented through these men and women in the 11th chapter who demonstrated their faith. We've arrived at the 32nd verse, which took us to the judges, that 350 plus years of Israel's history where they were in need of deliverance. Remember, the people of Israel have a cyclical behavior. It seems that it is not unique to Israel, but to all people of faith. They depart from the true and the living God. They do evil in the sight of God. He delivers them over to their enemies to discipline them. In their distress, they cry out to the Lord, and He raises up a deliverer. We have looked at these judges, beginning with Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. We skipped over David and looked for 2 weeks at Samuel. We come this morning to David, one of not only the unique deliverers of the nation of Israel, but the one who embodies, the one who will ultimately come as the shepherd king to deliver not only Israel, but to take on himself the sins of the world and become the savior of all mankind. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We were in chapter 15 last week. We find ourselves at verse 1 of chapter 16. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel?" You remember in the 13th chapter, verse 14, Samuel tells Saul, "Your kingdom is torn from you because you did not wait for divine direction." Samuel, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, had told Saul, "You wait until I get there to give you the guidance you need from the Lord." Saul, seeing the circumstance, defection of his army, took into his own hands the position of being the priest. He offered a sacrifice. Took into his own hands that of the prophet. And in so doing, he disobeyed. He did not wait for divine deliverance. Samuel now tells Saul, "Your kingdom is taken from you." In the 15th chapter, Saul once again is given opportunity to be a servant of the Lord to deliver the people. He goes out to fight against the Amalekites. And in chapter 15, we read at verse 22, But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you rejected the word of the Lord, He has rejected you as king." Saul did not wait for divine direction. Saul willfully disobeyed a divine dictate. Wipe out the Amalekites. I did it. Then what is this bleeding I hear in my ears? Token obedience in God's sight is total disobedience. He now, because of his rejection of the word of the Lord, will not be the king. Samuel is still praying for and mourning for Saul. We saw that ultimately, 32nd chapter of Samuel, that 31st chapter of Samuel, that he is ultimately destroyed because of his disobedience. Not only by the hands of the Philistines, but by his own pathetic, pragmatic hand, he takes his own life. But now as we see the transition away from Saul to a king who has a heart to do God's bidding, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king, the king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it and will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" That's a good question when God's judge shows up. Are you here in peace? Or do we have a problem? Samuel tells them very, very simply, "No, I come in peace. I'm here for the purpose that God has appointed me." Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." In that 13th chapter, verse 14, when Samuel told Saul, "The kingdom is being torn from you because of your disobedience, and God is in your place putting a man who has a heart for him." And so it will be when we get to the book of Acts. Paul is preaching about God's deliverance and how he delivered the nation of Israel. He speaks of David, who had a heart for God. A man of faith. A man with failures? Yes. But as we've said before, when we come to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we have this great honor roll of men and women of faith. It is only by the mercy and grace of God that we have their faith brought before us, not their failures. But they are men. They are women who fail. But David is now the one anointed of God because he had a heart for God. And Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "They're still the youngest, but he's tending the sheep." This now anointed of God will be the unique shepherd king. David, a man after God's own heart. "They're still the youngest, but he's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with fine appearance, handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise, anoint him. He's the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. We're over to chapter 17. David will spend some time in the service of Saul as a musician. Saul, you know, was beset by an injurious spirit. Some of your translations say an evil spirit. We don't know if he had bouts of depression, but we know that at times he was so possessed that he was unable to function. But David is brought in, who plays the harp. And as he plays, Saul is able to get his act together. But also, David will take the position of one of the armor bearers. There were obviously a number of young men that had this opportunity to serve in the king's army temporarily. Maybe when there are only home games, it's like the Bat Boys. We had, and some of you who have been in athletics, you don't want to, but you do. You always think not too highly of the equipment managers, because they're the ones that have to carry the stuff out, all that. He served in a capacity like an equipment manager for the army, and for, of course, Saul, as did others. Now, there's a unique situation besetting Saul and the nation of Israel. It's the Philistines again, but this time they have a champion. His name is Goliath. And they're having a problem with this champion who is challenging them. Verse 4, a champion named Goliath who was from Gath came out of the Philistines' camp. He was over 9 feet tall, probably 9'9". Would have made a great center. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze, weighing about 125 pounds. His legs were, he wore bronze on his legs. And he had a bronze javelin on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and the iron point weighed about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. It's a big guy. Extraordinarily big. and he is the champion of the Philistines, and he puts a challenge before Israel. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are not you the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. This champion who challenged Israel, Saul, had a chilling effect on the army of Israel, and on Saul particularly, because it would stand to reason that I'm calling out you, Saul. Now, David was the son of Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. And Jesse had eight sons, as we know. And in Saul's time, he was an old man, well advanced in years. And Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to war: Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest, they went back and they went to battle. David was the youngest. He went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. They said he was only involved when it was a home game, and it was close enough for him to get involved as it would permit. For 40 days, the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Talk about a standoff. 40 days. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this half bushel of roasted grain, these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers, hurry to the camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some souvenirs. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Obviously, either by design, the information that was being sent to the people about the army of Israel confronting the Philistines was somewhat spun. They ain't fighting. They're there. They've rallied, but they're 40 days in a standoff. Nobody is doing anything. Well, David arrives with some food for his brothers early in the morning. David left the flock with the shepherd, loaded up, set out as Jesse had directed, and reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. This is all show, no blow. Every day, "Okay, guys, let's go to the front lines. Yay, we're with you." Nothing. And it's obvious, up and down the front lines is this champion challenging the nation of Israel every day. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other, and David left the things with the keeper of the supplies and ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As they were talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. He would go up and down these lines, and he would challenge here and there, every unit. Send me one who will stand up against me. No response. Now the Israelites have been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. This is such a deal! You're going to get my daughter? Not going to have to pay taxes? Somebody stand up! David asked the men standing nearby, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? They replied to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? The shepherd king, his first rejection is from his own family. Who are you? Who is this shepherd to come and to challenge us about this challenge? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? They didn't like hearing that. Accused him of having a wicked heart. Jealous. David says, what have I done? Can I even speak? Just because I said, who is this Philistine? This uncircumcised dog challenging the armies of the living God. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And we all know the story. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul replied, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. The shepherd provides for the sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. The shepherd not only provides, he protects the flock. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines. Totally confident. This champion of the Philistines who challenges Israel, this uncircumcised dog, he'll fall at the hands of the living God. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on a sword over the tunic and tried walking about because he had not used them before. He said, I can't go in these. He said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones, all kinds of conjecture about what that's all about, from the stream. Put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. The shepherd will now provide the victory that only he can provide. He will protect in a powerful way. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you..." Sorry about that. Philadelphia, we say dog. I don't know how you say it from where you're from. Dog. But he's a dog. "That you come at me with sticks?" The Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistines, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. You come with the world's power. But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me. I will strike you down, cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord delivers, saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Pretty confident. He had good reason. Come on over to Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 1. Moses now has led the nation out of Egypt. They are about to enter the promised land. Moses, under the guidance of the elders, sends spies out to spy out the land. They come back with a report. The report is heavy on the side of this is not a good move. This is disaster awaiting us. There's a minority report, too, that say we should go in. But look at verse 26, chapter 1. "But you are unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, 'The Lord hates us.' So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us." Where can we go? Can't go back. Can't stay here. We're in trouble. "Our brothers have made us lose heart. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites." That's the race of giants. They're too big. They're too bad. They're too bold. "And I said to you, 'Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. The Lord your God